expect everybody to be in blue today. I don't know.
Well, certainly you. You.
I've
been a smurf for years.
If I had a blue suit that hid the side fat like my black suit does, I would wear it in a heartbeat.
Oh my God, you sound just like Papa Smurf.
That's so weird.
People keep telling me that.
Yeah.
You all right, Mitch?
No, it's weird because we just said last time.
I will. You know what? I need to start just being blue, otherwise it's going to be unsettling.
Actually really shocked at the amount of voiceover work that you've done. So I like to do a tiny bit of homework. So I was going back, thanks to our good people at IMDb, right? Because my favorite show of yours was Dead Like Me.
Okay.
So that was the first time that I guess I was exposed to you. I was totally, that was it. I was now hooked. And I suppose I know you more for film and TV and didn't know the voiceover stuff, but there was quite a lot. Am I gone crazy?
I don't know what you're talking about, but I know a little bit here and there,
well,
but not
maybe,
like this.
Maybe,
I consider this my first big break.
This was okay.
So what was my road to today?
The road to today, there was a movie with
No, that was, I hate to tell you, I was the human in that one. Hard to know, but
well,
you know, it's not easy. I was one of the humans.
Then there was another movie with a talking dog. What was that? Did you see that too? Because I was looking at that today because I was like, well, this is fascinating because I knew you was a very, did I lose it?
I know, you're probably right. How would I know? You know, I'm sure you're right. I have no memory of it, but you know, I just.
Makes two of us now.
Yeah.
I'm
at the point where I need to put my name on. For me, not for you, you know.
That's not good. We'll get you a life alert.
Thank
we'll
you. Oh.
We'll
great.
Well, I like to think that I discovered Mandy Patinkin, and he's going to be a big star.
Someday.
There you go.
Yes.
Thank you.
No. Yes, yes.
Well, how was it to act alone, you know, just without the other Smurfs, you know, act opposite against?
Sure. Well, it was freedom beyond imagination, and it just freed your imagination as well. It was a joy beyond words. When Kelly called me up and said, would you like to play Papa Smurf? I don't even think I finished breathing in. I just said yes. And then it was just total joy. Kelly would direct me and explain to me what I was supposed to say and what the story was. And then we'd just get going and we'd start improvising. And honestly, I don't think I've ever had more fun on a job in my life. Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. In that recording studio. Mandy gave me a lot of choices and tons of takes. And
yeah.
Sometimes he read everyone's lines. He just read the entire script out loud. So if I needed Smurfette to sound like Mandy, I've got it.
Yeah.
Because he.
You
got to
put it on
the
DVD extra.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
We had
fun, man. I tell you.
Now that you've played Papa Smurf, like, I honestly can't imagine anyone else being in that role. Like, it feels to me that you were born for this role. And I wanted to. I don't know how it feels to you, but
it feels good, great.
But I mean, really, like you are the embodiment of Papa Smurf, and now for a new generation as well. And I just wanted to know what were there aspects of yourself, of your own character, that you brought to the role?
That's all I knew to bring. I just figured he said Papa Smurf. I heard the word Papa. You know, I heard the word Papa before I heard the word Smurf, and I went, yeah, I'll play Papa, because that's what I am. I got two boys who are no longer boys. They're 30 and 34. I essentially play a father figure even on Homeland. Whatever I do, I enjoy being the father figure more than anything, and I enjoy it because you know, when you're the father, that means you have children, and that means you will learn from them. And at this point in life for me, and I'm not trying to be corny, they teach me everything, whether I'm working with them professionally, people like Claire and Rupert and all the young, wonderful, gifted people I get to work with, or my own sons, Isaac and Gideon, who just wake me up on a daily basis. I just came back from the refugee crisis with my wife and did all this work with refugees in the International Rescue Committee. And both my sons said to me, hey, Dad, I know you don't want to be on Facebook and you don't want to deal with all that. If you have causes that are important to you and you want to get it out there to the world, you have got to get on this social media. And we did it for the first time. And I wouldn't have done it without them saying, this is not an option. You must do it.
I know you the most from, obviously, Criminal Minds. Huh? That's where I know you. And I love the character in that so much. And you definitely do great with Papa Smurf. Because I saw how much of a father figure you were to Reed when you were doing the show.
Right.
So playing Papa Smurf, obviously, how did you feel just going from all those adult filmings and everything currently to playing now this child film?
Well, it was just an exercise for me to recharge my soul from a dark world that I sometimes live in reality, or in the fictional dark world of Homeland, which is a job that I do for half the year, every year. And so this was like an oasis. It was a place to get a transfusion of joy and happiness and hope and just, and to become a child again. I said earlier that I know I'm called Papa, but I really let the I was a kid in front of that microphone. Kelly encouraged my kid to come out, and I use the word that I'm a kidult, you know, and
that's a good word.
And that's who I think Papa is. He's the true. Maybe he's the original kidult.
Yeah. Okay. I also have a question for you, Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
So the Smurf was designed to be a 2D type of showing. Mm-hmm. So did you encounter any challenges when you made it into 3D?
Well, it was fun, mainly. The challenge is always there when you design a film, working with my production designer and my character designer and all the modelers to create something in three dimensions and still maintain the style that Peyo established in those books. We wanted to go all the way back to that. And the fun part for us was what we discovered is Peyo's world is sort of like everything's in miniature. Even though the Smurfs are small, Gargamel's actually, if he was a real character, he'd only be about 3 feet high. We did the math. Believe it or not, there is math. Smurfs are about 9 inches high, and then we really were able to do size comparisons. And we thought, this world is this strange kind of miniature world. And that reminded me of when I was a kid and I had Viewmasters, and they had those little models. I used to want to climb inside that Viewmaster. And so I wanted the audience to get the feeling of that. And I think the film does sort of possess that sort of miniature Viewmaster world that you now can watch in 3D and be encompassed by it. So it's very exciting. So all those things contributed to the look of the movie. But mainly Peyo established those shapes and that sort of visual language that we translated. And it was really great.
You know, when you just said the look of the movie, I remember when I was in school at Juilliard as a drama student, my teacher and mentor, Gerald Friedman, who's in his 90s now, he gave a lecture to us as I was 18. I was 18 years old. And he told us about a trip that he made through Europe. And he talked about, it was his way of trying to say, don't use drugs, you know, mm-hmm. in a certain way. And the way he said it was, because I wasn't using drugs, he said, or I wasn't drinking, and I saw all the colors.
Mm.
He talked about the colors, and he would take me to art museums and show me and point out the colors. And he was a person who loved the visual, as Kelly does, and lives for it and in it. And when you learn to look at the world through someone who naturally sees that way, it's like learning to listen to music that you never paid attention. You might have just paid attention to the lyrics, but you didn't connect to it through the music because you didn't think of that as a possibility. And so it's interesting. It really is. When I heard you say that, mm-hmm. made me think of my dear friend and mentor, Jerry, loving colors.
Wow, love it. I like that.
Yeah, I did. You'd love it.
You know, it made you think of something good.
That's No, only good. Yeah, yeah.
not to get political.
Uh-huh.
Are you worried with all the recent happenings with that other movie that there's going to be a lot of problems with the man on eagle kiss?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I hadn't even thought about it.
It wasn't planned.
Yeah, no. You know, that's the... That's the first...
I don't even know what movie you're talking about.
Yeah, that's the first time
I've
heard that.
I live in Smurf Village. So. You understand where I come from? It's a very small place. I live in a very small mushroom. I'm a little guy.
Yeah. So I don't know.
We don't have cable.
No Facebook.
So, yeah.
I'm Claudia from Trendy Latina. I have a special question for you. I know when you started talking with the actors, you didn't want them, even though the Smurfs are little, you didn't want them to sound like little children.
Right.
And you wanted them to actually show more grown-up Smurfs. Would you please share a little bit about it?
Well, I like actors to come in. The reason the reason I cast actors certain is because I hear their voice quality and I know their acting ability, and I want that. I don't want someone to come in and give me a cartoony voice. You know, I mean, I love Mel Blanc, classic voice actor, who could do all these different voices, and that's great. But I think that the spontaneity of something sounding real and honest is kind of better in a feature film. And so I wanted everyone to really just be themselves and bring themselves to the character. And they helped us create the character that way. Papa Smurf was not as defined in my mind until I saw Mandy in the part and I could hear Mandy in the part. And that sort of helped us develop that character and helped us write the character. So it's very important to me that the actors just be themselves as much as possible.
Like a co-creating.
Oh, definitely. Right. Definitely. Mandy gave us, and all the actors gave us, a lot of information about those characters as they perform them.
But in my opinion, I'm not trying to just blow smoke, you know, for Kelly, but for me, a great director is a person who, first and foremost, encourages you to bring what you want to bring. Mm-hmm. I asked you to be in the room. I hired you. How do you see it? How do you hear it? How do you feel it? Please do that. And then after you finish doing that, then what about this color? Instead of you were playing it red, what about playing it green or purple or orange? And dance with you. But he also has, a great director makes you feel like what you have to bring is good, that it's worth it. And no matter how experienced you are, no matter how famous or whatever, you know, whoever you are, everybody wants to feel that they're doing a good job. And they want that, you know, they need that encouragement, because if you're really doing your job as an actor, you're not watching yourself. You're in it. And so you need an outside pair of eyes. It's not criticism. It's perspective. And people need to learn that difference. And so to be able to play... Don't forget, it's called, when you do a play for the first time, it's called play. Everybody forgets that word. But to have somebody to play with is gold.
He's a fun playmate, I will say that.
Yeah. It was fun, really fun.
Yeah, we had a great time.
Looking at you just give off so much fun and awesome.
Yes.
Like, yeah, you're really very generous guy.
I mean, the saddest moment of every session for me was when, whether it's in the session or in the session when we're doing a certain section, Kelly says, great, we got it. What do you mean we're done with that? We're going to move on? You know, and then at the end of the day, it was like, you know, no, don't let it be over.
We did have fun. There's no doubt.
It was fun.
All I hear is Papa Smurf.
I know.
That's
what I like.
It's true.
It's wild.
Hi, I'm Nancy Horn. I'm the Mom Maven.
Oh, hi.
I just want to talk about, when you go into the Lost Village, are we allowed to talk about the Lost Village more?
Sure.
It is so visually beautiful. Mm-hmm. Where did you get the inspiration for it's stunning. Like, Smurf Village is adorable, but this was just over the top, just the senses, the flowers, the bugs, every single detail was stunning to me. Like, it was just colorful.
Thank you.
So I just
good.
I didn't know where that came from.
You know, I had a team of artists, visual development artists, and our art directors, Marcel Vignali and Dean Gordon, production designer Noel Triojo, our character designer Patrick Mate. They all were Smurf lovers to begin with, and they knew Peyo's work. And so we all just put our heads together and just talked about what could be fanciful about this world. And they just produced artwork after piece of artwork, all sorts of exploration and clippings, and what about something like this? And we put them all in a big room, and just everyone just responded to what was strong. And then they were able to take that and channel it and sort of develop it from there. And I give them full credit for creating this world that I was hoping for, but it can't ever come from one person's head. It's a team of people, which is really a big part of what this movie is about. And I'm so proud of that, is I'm able to say that I had my own sort of team Smurf that helped me make this movie. So while he was Papa Smurf on screen, I got to be Papa Smurf, my own little village.
So I asked Kelly if I could just see a little bit of the process, and he brought me into a room in Los Angeles where it was a screening room with a whole group, I don't know, 10 people of artists, scenic artists or whatever they were, whatever their title is, who were hooked up electronically to a whole group of people in Vancouver in another room, and they were showing me the process of making the water alive, this water. Yeah. And and they showed me the journey of it. And they were still working on it, and it was.
Yeah.
I mean, you.
It's a magic trick. It really is for me, too.
Oh, my God.
You know,
what I did once with my son? He was 10. He's now 30. So 20 years ago, I went to Disney World with him. And they had, I forget what it was called, but you could take an animation class. And they showed you, you know, they walked you through a lot of this, and it was thrilling. We just loved it.
Yeah.
You guys ready to take one group picture?
Sure.
Sure.
Sure.